Good morning. So glad to be here. So glad to see the brethren here at the North Jefferson Church of Christ. So glad to see our visitors. If you are a visitor, you are our honored guest. Please don't leave before we have the chance to talk to you. Today's lesson is entitled Understanding Worship or Taking Back Worship. So why would we preach on something like that? Because Jesus emphasized the need to worship in spirit and in truth. The way that we find this is through the pages of the Bible, through the New Testament. Whenever we think of worship, it's a basic concept, and some have attempted to redefine that. And what we are going to do this morning is to find what the Bible says about worship as compared to what the Bible says about service. So why is this a question? Why is this something that we need a lesson on? Because we're finding two different schools of thought pertaining to worship. Some have promoted the idea that everything that we do as Christians is worship. And that's not what the Bible teaches. Now, there are various reasons that this is done. Some see that some people show up to services, and the only time that they act like a Christian is when they walk through the doors. And then they live like the world. So in an idea to curtail that lifestyle, they try to say that all life is worship in hopes that people will have their act together throughout the week instead of just on Sundays. There's also some that make the case that they look to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, and they take a view of it that is not intended from the Greek. What we end up finding is a pendulum swinging, is that instead of letting the pendulum lay in the middle as it should, some people have brought it up to where they only live like Christians when they're in church services. So to try to alleviate that, some have allowed that pendulum to swing to the other side to say, well, all of life is worship. Well, all of life can't be worship. All of life can be service, which we're going to get into this morning, but all of life is not worship. So in this lesson, we don't want to examine motives. Why would someone try to say that all of life is worship? We have two different schools of thought. We're not going to talk about motive or the heart that's behind that. We're simply going to answer the question, is everything we do considered worship? What I'd like for you to do is turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. What is the difference in worship and in service? I believe that it'd be good for all Christians to have a little bit of a working knowledge of Greek to be able to get through all of the different words, to be able to use a Strong's Concordance, to be able to go through and find what a word means. And Romans chapter 12 is one of those verses that the majority of Bible translations have not put the proper word in place. One of the best translation that I found that goes along with the Greek is from the King James Version. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you be present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But unfortunately, the ESV, which is what I preach out of, and many other verses use a different word, and this has confused people. We look to the ESV in Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So what we end up finding is the water has been muddied when it comes to service and it comes to worship. If we look at the two different Greek words for service and for worship, it will help us to better translate what the author originally intended for us to know. The two Greek words are proskuneo and latreia. Proskuneo is worship, to kiss the hand, a token of reverence, an expression of profound reverence, kneeling or prostration due to homage. That is from Thayer. If you'll turn with me over to Matthew chapter 28 and verse 9, we're going to see an example of this proskuneo. And behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And they worshiped him. That is the proper rendering of this word. Yet we look to the other word, latreia, which is what we find in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, that we're to be a living sacrifice, that we're to give God right service. We look over to John chapter 16 and verse 2. If you'll turn with me over there, we're going to find the word service in the middle of this passage. In John chapter 16 and verse 2, they will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think that he is offering service to God. When reading this verse, I can't help but think of Paul. Paul thought he was giving service to God when he was on the road to Damascus to go and kill Christians, to enslave Christians, to throw Christians in prison. That was his desire. He thought he was doing service to God. He thought he was doing something that was good. He didn't think he was worshiping God by doing that, but he was serving God by doing that. This is in a nutshell, all worship is service, but not all service is worship. Worship involves giving God praise. Service involves giving God obedience. So we must give God obedience during worship as well as in our everyday lives. We give service to God every time that our heart beats. That is what God desires for us to do, is for us to serve Him. But when we come together for worship, that's different. This is a time that we come together to stir one another up to good works. We'll be getting that verse here in a second. But it is a time for us to heap praise upon God. So let's look at some examples of the difference between worship and service. Let's look to Abraham and Isaac. What we see is a period of worship that had a definite beginning and a definite end. Some will say, well, how do you define what worship is? Well, Abraham understood what it was. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 5, then Abraham said to the young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." In Genesis chapter 12, God gave the Abrahamic promise, or what we call the Abrahamic promise. And Abraham knew there were things that he had to do. He lived his life in service to God. Yet we find here in Genesis chapter 22 that he left to go and worship. He was still in service to God, yet he took the time to go and praise God. We see this again in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 19, and we'll see in chapter 3 and verse 12. They served the king, but they did not worship his image. We look in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 19. I'll be using the NASB. The king talked with them, and out of them all not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. They worked for the king. They served the king. But we look to Daniel chapter 3 and verse 12, and we see what they did not do. In Daniel chapter 3 and verse 12, I'll be reading again from the English Standard Version. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Now we think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we see men that served the king, yet refused to worship as how he wanted them to worship, worshiping something that wasn't God. And I love the example that was given is the king threatened to throw them into the fiery furnace, and they said, either God will save us or we're going to die, but we aren't going to worship you. We're not going to worship the golden image. They served the king, yet they didn't worship the king. We find that there were some that were driven out of the temple. John chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. Engaging in business, even if it is legitimate, is not to be mixed with worship. Worship is said to be specific. There are things that we do as worship. We have been called to come together to pray. We've been called to come together to sing praises. We see an example of preaching being done during worship. We see an example of coming together and giving as you've been prospered. And we see coming together in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 to partake of the Lord's Supper. We see specifics as to what we are to do in worship. And there are even some that try to muddy that up a little bit and try to do two acts of worship at the same time. I've heard of places that while you're partaking of the Lord's Supper, they want to sing a hymn at the same time. To me, that would be terribly confusing. I need to focus while partaking of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is when we think about the life that Jesus lived, and we think of the blood that Jesus shed, and that should recenter us. That should recharge our batteries and put our minds back to where they should be in service to God. I had a friend that was attending somewhere that they were wanting to sing during communion. And he said, well, how about this? Instead, why don't we sing during the announcements? And the person said, well, then we couldn't hear the announcements. We couldn't concentrate on the announcements. He's like, yeah, then how do you expect people to concentrate during the Lord's Supper? And announcements is even an act of worship. We consider what we are called to do when we come together to worship, and we must do those things as we have been commanded to do. And in John chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, in the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons, and their money changers were sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade. Having a craft show or a bake sale during worship is not one of the acts of worship. We consider what we must do. We need to have our minds right when we come to worship. That's why in some of our prayers we say, take worldly thoughts from our mind so we can give God the praise that He deserves. And how much praise does God deserve? How much praise does God deserve? Is it when we come together, we don't come together for long. We should strive to focus on what God would have us to do with our lives, to listen to the reading of His Word, to apply it to the best of our abilities, to sing praises to a God that deserves praise. We should not strive to muddy that up. And we see in specifics that that is what we're supposed to do, yet we do not see that all of life is worship. Christians in the first century, as well as Christians today, have a responsibility to be good citizens. Let's turn to Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. We as Christians have a responsibility to be good citizens, to pay our taxes, to obey the laws of the land. We consider a way for Christians to mar their reputation is for us to be disobedient to the law of the land. We are to be obedient to what the law says up until the point that it causes us to break God's law. And it is then that we will respectfully follow God's law and not the government. And only in that situation. Just because a law is made that violates God's law doesn't mean all of a sudden we can go 90 down North Jefferson. We still obey the law of the land. But we look to Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. We as Christians have a responsibility to be good citizens, but we don't have to worship the president. We don't have to worship Congress. We don't have to worship the Supreme Court. But again, we see a distinct difference in service and in worship. We find that there are consequences of failing to make that distinction. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. It expands the work of the church beyond what has been authorized. If everything is worship, then whatever is authorized outside of the assembly is authorized in. Common meals, going to work. We must respect Christ's authority, and then not everything is authorized at all times. We do have freedom. Worship is to be specific, but God has given us freedom in this life. We are free to work the type of job that we would like to work. I may be able to do quite a few things, but fixing a car is not one of those things. I don't even know why I open the hood sometimes. It's like, that's an engine. I think this is the battery. But if I were to want, if I were all of a sudden to desire that I would want to be a mechanic, I would talk to people that are proficient in engines. I would go out to NTCC. I would take classes to learn how to work on cars. I would do whatever I needed to do to be proficient in that, and then I could find work in doing so. But we consider this this freedom that we have in life. We had that up until we would disobey God. We consider the type of livelihood that we can have yet still be reputable in the community. We look to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. If we turn over to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, we see a scripture that we often reference, but if we try to say that all worship, all life is worship, it minimalizes the importance of assembling with the local church to worship. If the worship assembly is not something special, why should one attend? If there is no difference in worship and service, why come to worship? Why not sleep in? Because technically, sleep would be worship. I mean, why not go and get a nice steak? Go to the rear of the steer and get a nice big chicken fried steak. Eating that would then be worship. Another problem that we run into is if all of life is worship, what about when we sin? What about when we miss the mark? Is that also worship? We have to get down to proper terminology. All service is to be to God. Everything we do in word or deed is to be service for God. Yet we find a specific area, the specific time to come together and to worship. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. What we find is that worship is a time for us to come together, to stir one another up to good works. We come together to realize that we're not in this alone. We have brothers and sisters in Christ who are going through the same struggle that we are to go to heaven, to run that race, to do as God would have us to do, and coming together as a family can give us courage to continue to fight that good fight. We come together to center our minds back on God as God deems appropriate. God has told us what He desires when it comes to worship. God has given us His expectations. It is up to us to follow them. What we find is that while service and worship may be different, we are commanded to do both. We are commanded to do both. Worship is a great privilege, but we must do it the way that God has said. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. So when we study our Bibles and there's something that we don't quite understand, we need to be able to find what the original writing was. We see the original writing in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 said that when we die to our old selves and have a living sacrifice as our lives, that is our reasonable service. And I find that a little hyperbolic. Is reasonable service reasonable? Jesus died on the cross for us. Of course we should live for Him. Of course our service should be to Him. But we consider the difference in worship and in service. Service is all of our life. Worship is separate and a committed different time. No matter what the reasoning that some have said, maybe it's because people act like Christians and then go into the community and act like the devil, or it's somebody that misunderstood Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Whatever the motive may be, we have to get back to the truth. And the Bible clearly states that worship and service are different. Both worship and service are necessarily and are related to one another but they are different. We must not confuse the two, or else our worship and service to God may fall short of the standard that He has set forth for us to live. You know, when we talk about a standard, we say, how do we become Christians? There are so many different places in the community that will throw church on their sign. Yet this morning, there are many places that will preach different things. We as Christians have the responsibility to look back to the Bible to ensure that what is being taught is true. We look to the Bible to find our answers. So when someone says, why or how do you become a Christian? Say, well, if I'm going to become a Christian, I understand that God has already done His part. He sent His Son. His Son died, and the Spirit inspired the Word. That the Spirit inspired people to pen the Word. We have everything ready for us. But what is our responsibility? I had someone on Facebook once say, Jesus did it all. All we have to do is believe. And I'm not much of a grammar Nazi, but just a little bit. And if Jesus did it all, why would I even have to believe? We've got to be able to balance our sentences a little bit better. Jesus did do it all, but it is our responsibility to be obedient. And belief is very much a part of that. In John chapter 3 and verse 16, we see that we must believe. Christ compelled them in Luke 13:3, repent or likewise perish. We see by example, the eunuch confessed Jesus Christ as Lord in Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. In Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10, they were called to confess with the mouth and to believe that Jesus died and was raised from the dead. But then that is not the end all. Some will say that is when you take Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. But we don't find that in Scripture. We find that when sins are washed away is at baptism. As Romans chapter 6 verses 3 and 4 state, it is at baptism that we walk in a newness of life. And when we are obedient to the gospel and baptism, which now saves us, 1 Peter 3:21, baptism that only believers can partake in, Mark 16:16. You can't baptize babies, they can't believe. We come to being Christians, our life is service. And we come together to worship. But if you're falling short in your service, I would encourage you this morning, if you need the prayers of the congregation, if you need to confess public sin, if you have any spiritual need, this morning is the time to get right with God before it's eternally too late. If you have any spiritual needs, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.